I'd like to ask you to open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And in just a minute, we will start reading in verse number 1, Acts chapter 13. But before we do that, I just want to tell you a little story. Regina and I enjoy, as we're traveling, especially now that we have kids, we enjoy stopping and going to different places to do some sightseeing. We've been traveling for about a week. We were up in Maryland last Sunday, and then we were over in New Jersey. Then we were up in Pennsylvania, and then we came down here to Georgia. And we were driving through Hershey Park, Pennsylvania, and so we decided to stop at the Hershey factory there and learn a little bit about how chocolate was made. And it was really neat to see the process of how chocolate starts from the tree to the factory and how it's produced and then packaged and then sent out. And, you know, a lot of times we don't know the process that the food that we eat, the candy that we're going to eat tonight, where it comes from, how it gets to that point. But there's always this process that it goes through to get to the packaged version. I enjoyed going and looking at your wall back here of missionaries. A number of your missionaries we know, we've met during missions conferences and at different times over the past few years. But it's always interesting when you look at a missionary, we may not know the process that God put them through to get to the point of serving on the mission field. But God always has a process that He leads individuals through to go to the mission field. And when we think about that, that process might kind of seem like a mystery to us. We might think, well, you know, how does that happen? How does God call, prepare a missionary to serve on the mission field? But God has not left it a mystery to us, because we have a lot of information in the New Testament about where a missionary comes from and how God calls missionaries to serve Him in the foreign field. And so here in Acts 13, we have the example of someone we would call probably the greatest missionary that ever lived, the Apostle Paul. And we get just a little picture of how the Lord called Paul and his teammate Barnabas to go to the mission field. So we're going to start reading here in verse 1, and we're going to learn a little bit about how God calls and prepares the missionary. Okay, Acts chapter 13, verse number 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. So as we come here to Acts chapter 13, the Apostle Paul was saved back in Acts chapter 9. Most of us, I think, are familiar with his conversion, pretty dramatic conversion that the Apostle Paul had. And in Acts chapter 11, we learn about a church that was started in Antioch, not by a formal missionary endeavor, but rather by some individuals that had ended up there after a persecution that had started with Stephen. And these guys ended up here in Antioch. And to that point, The new believers had been preaching the gospel just to Jews. But when they got up here to Antioch, they started preaching to Gentiles. And a number of them got saved. And Antioch was a very prominent city during this time, a very large city. And these individuals got saved and a church was established. And so the church in Jerusalem heard about this church. They said, "Wow, you know, this is really interesting. Let's find out what's happened here." So they sent a guy named Barnabas, who was a very faithful guy and who the Lord was with, to go up to Antioch to check it out. So in Acts 11, we find out that when Barnabas got there, he was excited about this work that had been started, that the Lord had established, not through any formal missionary endeavor, but that He'd established. And he encouraged the church. And then he went to get Saul, who had been saved a number of years prior, and then who the Lord had been preparing for a number of years. He got Saul, brought him to the church at Antioch, and they stayed there and worked in that church plant. So that's a little context to Acts 13. So when we get here to Acts 13, we find out that Saul, who we also call Paul. Saul is his Jewish name. Paul would have been his Greek name. Paul and Barnabas were working together in this church, and there were some other guys too that we learn about in verse 1. So you have all these guys, five of them total, working together here in the church at Antioch. And so the first thing that we see here this evening is that Paul and Barnabas and these other guys as well were busy serving in their local church. So remember that we're talking about how God calls the missionary. And the first thing that we're going to see is that they begin by serving in the context of their local church. Now, I heard several years ago, I heard the deputation director of a large independent Baptist mission board preach at a missions conference, and he was telling us about how a few years prior to that, a couple had approached him at a church and told him that they were interested in going to the mission field. And he said, "Oh, that's great. Well, tell me a little bit about how you are involved right now in your local church." And they kind of looked at him with this deer in a headlight stare because they weren't involved in working in their local church. It's interesting because if someone wants to serve on the mission field, but they've never been involved in serving in their local church, we can't expect them to really serve the Lord as they should if they haven't been using their spiritual gifts and the abilities that God has given them prior to going to the mission field. So we see these individuals that God had gifted working in their local church, and God was using them there in the local church. It says that they were prophets and teachers. Prophets at that time were receiving new revelation from God, because remember that the Bible hadn't been completed at that point. The New Testament hadn't been completed. Now it has, and so we don't have that new revelation anymore. But these guys were giving out revelation from God, and a lot of times when we think about prophets, we think of foretelling the future, but primarily these prophets were forth-telling. They were giving out and proclaiming God's word, and they were involved in teaching. And so they were involved in helping the individuals in this church to grow. They were using the spiritual gifts that God had given them. You know, each one of us as believers have been gifted by God as well with natural abilities. That could be playing the piano. It could be something else that we can use in the context of the local church. And also spiritual gifts that God gives us upon our salvation. And God expects us to be using those right here in our church to be an encouragement to the church body and to be a witness to those around us. And sadly, many believers don't know or aren't sure about what their spiritual gifts even are. And so if you have questions about that, I'd encourage you to begin thinking about that. Begin studying the Bible on that issue. Romans 12 talks about this. 1 Corinthians 12. Talk to your pastor. I'm sure he'd love to talk to you about what your spiritual gifts are and how you can use them more and more in the church. So first of all, if a person desires to serve God on the mission field, they first of all have to be serving in the context of the local church. But then look what happens. In verse 2, it says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.'" And so while they were serving, we see in verse 2 that they were seeking the Lord in through fasting, which probably involved prayer, because almost always in Scripture where we see fasting, we also see prayer involved. And so it seems like they were seeking the Lord, maybe for His direction in regards to the missionary endeavor and how the Lord would continue the spread of the gospel in the Roman world. We don't know for sure what they were praying and considering, but they were seeking the Lord. And as they did that, the Holy Spirit revealed to them, probably through one of these guys that was a prophet, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And so God made very clear that He had a specific work that He had called Paul and Barnabas to. Now, each of us in our homes, we have utensils that are designated for specific uses. For example, in our kitchen, you have your spatula, you have your whisk, you have other things, your forks and knives and spoons, all sorts of things that you use in your kitchen. And when you go to make an egg in the morning, I'm sure that you don't expect your spatula to say, "Hey, I don't want to flip that egg. I want to go do something else. I want to go work outside." No, you expect that spatula to do the job that it was designed to do, right? And you have other things in your house, out in your garage, you have your tools, and each of those things are designated for a specific purpose. And God has a specific purpose for each of us as believers that He has designed for us to do and prepared for us to do with our natural abilities and the spiritual gifts that He has given us. You know, a lot of times when we think about God's will, it's kind of this mysterious, nebulous thing. And we think, wow, you know, Brandon, you're talking about missions. You're talking about going to be a missionary. And, you know, I have no idea what God wants me to do. I have no idea what God's will is for me. Maybe some of you would be thinking of that this evening. But the fact is, the will of God does not have to be a mystery. And as we look in the Bible, we basically see the will of God falling into two parts. We have God's revealed will, those things that He has revealed for every believer. And the fact is, God has revealed His will for every single person. I could go out here in Martinez or Augusta and stop somebody on the street and say, "Hey, I know what God's will is for your life." And you think, "Wow, you know, how do you know that?" Well, I know from the Bible that God desires all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. So that's God's will for every single person. But is every single person going to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior? Sadly, no. And so there are people that are going to reject God's will for their life in that sense. But for those of us that have accepted Christ and believe that He died on the cross, rose from the dead, and we've received Him as our Lord and Savior, God has a will for each of us and a revealed will that He's shown us in His Word. He desires for all of us to pray. He desires for all of us to rejoice always, even in the difficulties and the sufferings of life. He desires all of us to be spending time in His Word. He desires all of us to be using our spiritual gifts in the local church. So in that sense, the will of God is not a big mystery. And then as we're putting into practice God's revealed will, God will then reveal His specific will for each one of us. Those are things like, where does God want me to go to college? What job does God want me to have? If you are single, who does God want me to marry, or does He want you to get married? And as we put God's will into practice, His revealed will into practice in our lives, He will reveal those specific things to us. But if we say we want to know God's will, but we're not doing those things that He's already revealed to us, we're not praying on a daily basis, we're not reading His Word on a daily basis, we're not going to church, we're not using our gifts in church, we can't expect that God is going to reveal His specific will for us. And so, the thing that we need to consider is, are we doing those things that God has revealed to us to do? And if we are, then we need to keep doing those things faithfully, and in time, God is going to reveal His specific will for us. And so as Paul and Barnabas and these other three men were seeking God's will, God revealed that it was His will to separate Paul and Barnabas to a specific work. Then in verse number 3 we read, "And when they had fasted and prayed," again we see fasting and prayer going together, "and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." So we see that God was preparing these missionaries as they and these other individuals were serving in their local church. Then as they were serving and seeking God's will, He separated them for a specific purpose. And then finally, He sent them off to the specific work that He had called them to. And it's interesting here that the church was involved in that sending. Because we see here in verse 3, they laid their hands on them and then they sent them away. And then it says, "So they being sent forth by the Holy Spirit departed into Seleucia." So the church and the Holy Spirit were working in conjunction to send these missionaries off to the work that God had called them to. And that's important because we see that Paul and Barnabas remained accountable to this local church. This they apparently counted as their sending church because they continually went back to this church to give an account of what God was doing while they were serving Him on the mission field. And that's important because how many guys were there in the beginning that were serving together and teaching in this church? There were 5. And how many did God call? Did He separate to a specific work? 2. And so how many did that leave serving in the local church? 3. There were these 3 leaders, and I'm sure there were other individuals in this church that remained behind when Paul and Barnabas were sent out to this work. So those that aren't called to a specific work on the mission field are called to do what? They're called to stay behind and keep on serving. And we don't have more information about these guys, but we assume that that's what they did, that they continued on serving the Lord in their local church. Many of you may be familiar with the name William Carey, but William Carey was a missionary to India. And when William Carey first made the decision a couple hundred years ago to go to India, he met together with a group of pastors. When he made this decision that he was going to go to India and these pastors were going to be involved in supporting him and sending him off to serve the Lord as a missionary in India. And one of those pastors years later would look back at that moment when they separated William Carey to this work. And he wrote that it was though William Carey had endeavored to go down into a deep pit, like into a mine. And he told us, brothers, I'm willing to go if you will stay behind and hold the ropes. That's what William Carey expected those pastors, those leaders to do, to hold the ropes for him as he went down into the darkness of this pit, the darkness, the spiritual darkness of India. And that is what God calls churches today to do as they send out missionaries, as they support missionaries on the foreign fields. The church is called to stay behind and hold the ropes for those that are going out to the field to proclaim the gospel. So those that aren't called have a great work to do as they continue on here, giving out the gospel, living out the gospel in their community, serving in their local church, working to help others in the church to grow, using their spiritual gifts. It's not just the missionary that has a great job and a great work to do. It's each of us that God has, that God has saved and that God has gifted and equipped. We're all to be working together to serve the Lord in the context of our local church if we hadn't been called. But there may be some of you today that God has called or is calling to serve Him on the foreign mission field. And I'm convinced that God is still calling those to full-time vocational ministry. And maybe the Lord would call someone from this church to go to the mission field. And so I would just ask you all to consider tonight what God's will is for you. What has God gifted you to do? Is it to stay here and serve and hold the ropes here in Westside Baptist Church? Or maybe it's to go to the foreign mission field. But whatever the case, God has revealed to us specific things that we're each supposed to be doing. And let's together continue on doing those things that God has called us to do to please Him, that the message of the gospel can continue to go out, and that God can be glorified not only here in Martinez, Georgia, but around the world.